This is Central Time. The Packers had a big win, a scary injury, and a long lightning delay, but some of the biggest news came before the game even started, and that's our starting point today in our weekly look at the latest news from around Wisconsin.
Also today, we'll check out a new study on the impact of voter ID and a report on hazardous working conditions and a Wisconsin coffee roasting plant.
Robert Menser joins us each week at this time. He's a senior statewide editor with USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Let's start with this Packer story here. Packer players in a statement said they're going to link arms during the national anthem, invited fans to join in. They said, I'm quoting here, it's a coming together of players who want the same things that all of us do, freedom, equality, tolerance, understanding, and justice for those who have been unjustly treated, discriminated against, or otherwise treated unfairly. That was the Packer statement. What ended up happening last night, Rob?
Well, they indeed, the players and coaches on both teams, linked arms. No one knelt, so that's symbolically significant to some. And then in the stadium, there were some chants of USA, USA, and so it became the sort of a portrait of political polarization that I guess every space in American life is now.
I want to give a listen. Our own Patty Murray, a WPR reporter, was at Lambeau last night. She spoke to some fans, some Packer fans, and here from an outside perspective, she talked to James Jones, not the former Packer receiver, but a Bears fan in town for the game. Here's a listen.
I don't have a disagreement with it. I think it helps bring up the issue of what issues we have as a country and just spark the debate. Myself, I'm going to stand for the national anthem, but I don't disapprove of somebody taking a knee.
So a lot of back and forth about this, a lot of comments online and any news sites or social media you care to look at. What kind of things are you hearing at your outlets, Rob?
Yes, well, so there's the range of reactions that you might expect. So FoxNews.com went with the headline, Packers Bears Stand During Anthem Before NFL Game, which indeed they did, but it does that plays down the linked arms, which were part of the same sort of symbolic protest. The more liberal site SB Nation went with Packers players are joined by fans in linking arms during national anthem, and Breitbart.com went with Packers' attempts to involve fans in anthem demonstration falls flat. Most chant USA instead, which I don't want to question Breitbart.com's journalistic integrity, but I don't know about that most.
I want to give a listen to Aaron Rodgers at the postgame press conference. He was asked about the request that fans join players in linking arms. Here's what he had to say.
It was an invitation to join us. Beauty is it's a free country, so they can choose to do it or not. The messaging of this, unfortunately, needs to continue to be redirected, I think. It's never been about the national anthem. It's never been about the military. We're all patriotic in the locker room. We love our troops. This is about something bigger than that, an invitation to show unity in the face of some divisiveness from the top in this country.
Not your common post-game interview material. Rob, there have been calls for boycotts from some outlets, some people online. Any thought that this might happen?
So it's just hard to see that it happening. The calls for boycotts were out there before this game, and we just saw no evidence of that. The bars in across the state, so that they had the same number of patrons, and near the stadium, it appeared to be the same amount of sort of commerce and people ready for the game. There was a reporter in USA Today Network Wisconsin talk with a guy today who said that he might boycott other NFL games, but never Packers games.
And the one thing that did happen on the field, the hit on Davante Adams, kind of almost sickening when you saw it at first, and even more so on the replay. And thankfully, they stopped showing replays. But Davante Adams tweeted today, at home, feeling great, appreciate the prayers. So Knock on wood, it sounds like he's doing okay. Is that something that people have been talking about in your neck of the woods, Rob?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, football is it can be a brutal game, and it's a it's an interesting phenomenon where as of a month ago, the sort of the major criticisms of the NFL were likely coming from people who were concerned about player safety, were concerned about concussions and CTE, and at this point it's with the president's tweets and so on, it's swung to a sort of a right wing movement to be critical of the NFL. It remains the most popular sport by a lot in the country, but I mean there's a little bit of a pincer movement, and the NFL is kind of getting it on in multiple sides.
We're talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at the top stories in state news this week. Coming up, a Russian hacking and a confusing message from Homeland Security, and a new study on the impact of Wisconsin's voter ID law on voter turnout. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Rob Mentzer from the USA Today Network Wisconsin and our weekly roundup of Wisconsin news.
Rob, I want to talk about a kind of moving target story, Russian hacking of attempted hacking of state elections related systems. We heard in Wisconsin, Department of Homeland Security says, hey, Wisconsin, you are one of over 20 states whose election registration system was targeted by hackers. Then the story kind of changed. No, it was a Department of Workforce Development website. And then we know stuff happened, but there's some intelligence reasons that we can't reveal. What do we know and not know about what Russian hackers did regarding Wisconsin state government websites last year?
Oh, it's a mess. So we know, or at least that we know, that the Department of Homeland Security is saying that that there were attacks that they by hackers that they connect to the Russian government on this state website, as you said, the Department of Workforce Development. In October of 2016, there had been one earlier than that, more in the springtime. That's virtually all we know. It seems like it's hard to get full information from Homeland Security on this, and I suppose it's not hard to understand why. There are one presumes legitimate national security or reasons why they might not be able to reveal all the information. But on the other hand, what the effect of this result of this being released was total hysteria, right? I mean, the news initially was that that hackers had tried to get into Wisconsin's voter registration system in advance of the election. It sort of renewed all the questions about the legitimacy of the presidential election. And then, within days, the Department of Homeland Security said, no, it was not the Elections Commission. It was this completely separate department that has nothing to do with voting, that is a significant difference. So.
And it seems clear, at no point did anybody say they successfully got into registration systems, and at no point have actual voting machines or changing of votes been part of this story. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, and it has to be said every time, because there are especially those who are not happy about the results of the most recent presidential election have a lot of reasons to want to sort of go there. It would be elections are run by municipalities. There really is not the state of Wisconsin doesn't run elections. Every little town and city and village runs their own elections. So it would be very hard, up to maybe impossible, to hack all of those systems in a sort of targeted way. I don't want to say impossible. Who knows? But very, very challenging. And the other thing is, remember, Wisconsin had a recount. Remember the recount? So we can't go too far in saying that the specific results of this election were tampered with. But that also shouldn't obscure the fact that we should be alarmed alarmed by the thought that foreign hackers are trying to hack into any state systems, right?
Staying with election news from last year, a new study from UW-Madison researcher says the headline, 23,000 people didn't vote in part because of voter ID last year. This focused mainly on Dane and Milwaukee counties. Can you talk about the survey and how they came to that?
So this is very interesting, and this is another case where it's probably best to take that estimate somewhat with a grain of salt for reasons we can talk about. But what the study is was a University of Wisconsin-Madison political scientist named Ken Mayer mailed out 2,400 surveys to people in Dane County and Milwaukee County who were registered to vote but did not vote, asking them why. Why did they stay home? Was it maybe they didn't like any of the candidates? They had the flu that day. It could be a lot of reasons. And about 300 people responded, which is a small share of the number of surveys sent out, but perhaps a statistically significant share. That's the way surveys go. And from that sample, it was about 7% of the people who said that they didn't vote because they didn't have valid ID, or they believed they didn't have valid ID. And so you can extrapolate from that it is at least plausible to believe that that the actual numbers were much, much higher.
And so the voter ID debate will go on. A reaction to this this survey, are you seeing that out there?
Well, I mean, this is the latest attempt to estimate the effects of voter ID, and I think none of them are probably quite precise. It's not something that you can measure quite precisely. There are a lot of reasons why someone might have stayed home, and we can't sort of run a control on this. But every estimate, essentially every study that's looked at voter ID, concludes that there are some people who are legitimate voters who are disenfranchised by it, and it further concludes that those people are disproportionately African American. They tend to be poorer and folks in urban areas where they may not need a driver's license day to day. And so this is another data point supporting that view. Whether or not you adopt the specific number, sort of 16,000 or 23,000, it's not zero.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, senior statewide editor with USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau.